Day, April 27th. So we'll first start out with a roll call. I'll turn it over to Mr. Woods.
Thank you. Chair Hale, Commissioner Munoz. The records show that Commissioner Munoz gave a call to the office and he's got work-related activities that he may or may not be able to attend this evening. Commissioner Crowley?
Here.
Commissioner Sedaris?
Present.
Commissioner Ayu?
Here.
Commissioner Bates?
Present.
Commissioner reports and announcements. Do we have any reports and announcements tonight? Nope. Okay.
If I may, thank you, Chair. I want to announce our collaboration with the Tree Committee and also any volunteers for the Morro Bay Pups. We have a tree planting in celebration of Arbor Day. That's going to be on April the 30th, which is Friday, at 12 o'clock at Del Mar Park. And from an anonymous donor within the community, we've have some funds to buy some trees. We've got three or four trees we're going to be putting in, two or three of them right along the creek, in between the creek and the dog park, the large dog park. There's a few areas there that could stand for a few more trees in that buffer zone. So in celebration of Arbor Day, we're planting some trees. The tree committee is going to be out there, volunteers. We certainly would invite any volunteers from Morro Bay Pups. They've done quite a bit of work out there, you'll see. So that's happening at noon at Del Mar, and we'll have the holes dug and the trees on site, so it should be easy volunteer work with a whole lot of recognition for the city. Thank you.
Great. If anybody wants to help out, is there opportunities to do that or just show up? And okay, great. Thank you. Okay, and in terms of presentations, we have the Morro Bay Pups presentation on the Jody Giannini Family Dog Park. So we are going to invite this organization up to speak.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have introduced Morro Bay Pups. You have Steve Eckes representing, as well as Elaine Giannini.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead. Thank you.
Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for the opportunity to share with you the progress that Morro Bay Pups and the City of Morro Bay have made in the course of the last, a couple of years, I think, since we've been before you. It was, I think, at least a couple of years ago when you started us off by giving us the first approval of the design of the dog park as it has ultimately come to be built. It was anticipated at that time that it was going to be controversial, and perhaps the controversy bled out of the item over the previous 8 years, so that for the last 2 years it doesn't seem as though it's been controversial. On the contrary, it seems to have gone awfully smoothly and pleased an awful lot of people in the community. The just a word about Morro Bay Pups. We're a completely local organization made up of private citizens. We are unaffiliated with the City of Morro Bay, except that we, with the city, have formed this unique public-private partnership to design, build, and maintain an enclosed dog park in the City of Morro Bay. The city made the commitment of the land some time ago, and we then went through the permitting approval process, which began about 2 years ago, and finished up after about a year or so. It went through this commission and planning and then to the city council. We then launched a fundraising campaign last year during which we raised about $50,000 to design, build, and maintain the park. It was an extraordinarily successful campaign to accomplish that sort of thing during the economic crisis of last year. But I think that's a measure of how much this community wanted an enclosed dog park. The construction began last fall and consists primarily of a 5-foot-high green plastic-coated chain-link fence, which surrounds the dog park in the westerly end of Del Mar Park. I'm sure you're familiar with that beautiful section of the park with its trees and its kind of rolling hills. It makes for a very social dog park, not a lot of flat ground for sprinters like my dog, but it's a wonderful socializing place both for the people and for the dogs. It has an entrance station, a portion of which you can see behind the sign. This is a picture of construction or the installation of the dog bone signs just this past weekend, finally giving us a focus and placing the name of the Jody Giannini family on this dog park. This is an example of some of the volunteer efforts that have been made during the construction. As I say, the park was constructed entirely with private funds, not any city money, and the actual construction was performed in part by volunteers, in part by contract, and in part by the CCC. So it was something of a coordination challenge, not just for us, but also for your staff, who have been extraordinarily helpful from day one on this project. We, with the installation of the signs, we think we have reached the point where we're about 95% complete of our operational construction, at least. There are three benches in the park. This picture, you're looking at the entrance, and on the left, you can see some people sitting in the background, a couple of people sitting in the background up there. That's the dog park, or that's the bench in the small dog area. There are two similar benches in the large dog area, one on that same mound that runs in a north-south direction along the very westerly edge of the park, and then one clear up at the far northeasterly part of the park. There'll be a fourth bench, so that there'll be two in the small dog park, and that one is on order and will be installed when it arrives. The installation of the benches and a good deal of the construction of the fencing was done by two extraordinary volunteers that we had, Steve Marcatello and Sam Ayoub, and they spent countless hours out there. There's a number of other volunteers here, as you can see, helping install the signs, but those two really did the yeoman's effort in getting the dog park constructed. The part of the relationship with the city is that the city makes the rules. We consult with the city, and I apologize for not having a personal copy of this for you, but hopefully you'll be able to see this. This is the sign that hangs on the front gate of the dog park, and these are the 7 or 8 thou shalt nots. These are rules. They're stated in the negative for the most part. And they have to do with making sure that your dog is leashed up to and from the dog park, that there aren't any aggressive dogs allowed in the dog park, no unvaccinated dogs allowed in the dog park, that you're to clean up after your dog, and that you're not to take food for the animals or for people into the park, and no children, no unattended children in the park under the age of 12 years old. We hope that posted rules of a negative sort can be kept to a minimum, and we will see if that's in our future by how our users react to their opportunity to use this park. So far, we've had very little issue in that regard. But it is necessary from time to time to inform users of the park about what an issue that needs clarification for our users, and that is what is a small dog and what is a large dog. That may seem perfectly apparent to you, but as you think about it, the more you think about it, the more you realize that that's not very obvious. And so this is an example of what we will be posting in our kiosk, the message board section of the kiosk, which is the 5% that I referred to a few moments ago by referring to the other 95%. That's the 5% that's not up yet. The kiosk will consist of a donor wall in the leash up area, which is that entrance area, double gated, where you take your dog in on the leash, release the leash there, and then open another gate to go into either the large or the small dog park. Right there will be the donor wall where people can see how we were able to, the team that we were able to put together to get this dog park into existence. And on the other side will be the information board, and it'll be in that area that we will post things like this. And this, as you can tell from taking a quick glance at it, tries not to tell people what they cannot do, but tries to tell them why there are and what is a small dog and why can't larger dogs be in the small dog area. And we've essentially established that any dog can be in the large dog area. That's the owner's discretion. And if you own a small dog and you take it into the large dog area, then you're doing that at your own risk. The small dog area is a little different. It needs to be, those dogs need to be protected to a greater extent than the large dogs need to be protected from the small ones, although sometimes you get some pretty tough small ones. So here the rule is that a small dog is 25 pounds or less, and those dogs we recommend be in the small dog area. We don't recommend that any dog under 15 pounds certainly be in the large dog area, and that if you have an infirm dog or a dog for which there are some special circumstances that you'd like to have the dog in the small dog area, then you may do that when the small dog area is not being used, or if you have the consent of all, underline all, of the then occupants of the small dog area. Summary of why that makes sense. And that's the kind of approach we're going to take as Morro Bay Pups. As we go on, the city does the maintenance of the grass and the trees and things like that. We are taking care of the waste generated and general pickup and cleanliness. The city makes the rules. We post things like this, suggesting that good etiquette suggests that you ought to handle your dog this way. I think that's going to be a very workable partnership, and we'll see how that goes as we go along. If you haven't been out to see the dog park, I know at least one of you has been out to see the dog park because I recognize Anita from our board. But if you haven't, we'd love to have you come out anytime. Bring your dog and enjoy the afternoon of the day. We're having an event coming up soon that Elaine Giannini would like to talk with you briefly about. And with that, I'm available for any questions you might have.
Anyone have questions?
I guess the biggest surprise is that this could get done. And get done with so many smiles on so many people's faces, from people at the city who really wanted to see this done, from people on the city council, the advisory commissions, the staff, people that live very near by this dog park, who we were told for years there had been opposition from the immediate neighbors of the dog park. That just hasn't proven to be the case. Dogs are dogs. They make some noise. There are times when use of the dog park is, and I suppose this is the other thing that I would note, and that is that from about 4:30 to about 5:30 in the afternoon is the time of heaviest use. It's not at all unusual for there to be at least 8 or 10 dogs in the small dog area and maybe 12 to 15 dogs in the large dog area. That's great. What's even better is that there are dogs there all day long, and they're in the dog park. It used to be that there were dogs running loose in Del Mar Park. There are still. You still do see a dog now and then. but I think we're having an impact on that problem. For those who...
Well, thank you, and thank you for all of the hard work in bringing this to fruition. I know that the community is very excited about it.
Well, I'll accept that thanks, but only on behalf of the many supporters of the dog park, including those who gave generously of their money and others who gave generously of their time. So thank you very much.
Good evening. Elaine Giannini. I'm a, Morro Bay Pups board member. First of all, I would like to express my gratitude to Mr. Woods, all of you on the Parks and Rec Commission, the City Council, and the City of Morro Bay for allowing me the honor to have this park dedicated to my brother. It's very special for me. We are lifelong Morro Bay residents, and this was a way that I felt that we could memorialize my brother, and it's very, very special to me. And in that vein, I would like to personally invite you, Mr. Woods, all of you on the commission, the city council, and all of the public and their dogs to join us for our grand opening and our pets and just the finalization of this dream that's been going on, as Steve mentioned, for many, many years. And I hope that you will all be able to join us. Thank you.
Thank you.
May I just add one thing to the presentation? And thank you, Morro Bay Pups, Steve and Elaine, for coming and sharing the progress that we've made so far, and getting this stage and finalization and grand opening is very exciting. We've worked with this group, not so much. It's been a lot of just direction, and almost all the responsibility of this construction and maintenance is on this community group. We haven't spent much time, staff time. We haven't spent any staff dollars. So it's an incredible attest to these, their passion and what they have to offer the community, and they really do care. So the success of this park is definitely in the hands of the community. The Morro Bay Pups have the bulk of the responsibility, but sending messages out like this and educating is part of the relationship. And so far they've been excellent stewards of
and who he was, and that way if somebody asks me, well, who is so and so, which is on the sign, I could tell them. Be nice. Thank you.
My father sailed into port about 64 years ago. He was actually one of the first mayors of Morro Bay, and my family has had a long history of involvement in the city of Morro Bay. My brother sat on the Harbor Commission for years and years, and just the family has been involved with the city in just striving to maintain what Morro Bay is and to make it a better place to live for many, many years. Throughout both my brother and my father's, I am trying to start following in their footsteps, but they seem to be more involved than I at the time. And we owned a marine hardware store in town because for many, many years we had our marine store and serviced the boats in the fishing village that Morro Bay was way back then, until so many things happened in that industry. And, you know, we've lost a lot of our fleet and a lot of the members. But my father, both my father and my brother, were very, very well respected in the community and very much admired for what they had tried to do for the city of Wind to rise. And my brother was so fond of his animals, and he saved every little creature that there was, big and small. He had a one-eyed seagull that he fed every day outside his store, and it didn't matter if it was a dog or a cat or a bird or somebody lost something or some dog was laying by the roadside, he'd pick it up. So this was kind of the second best for us to be able to have the park named after him. And I know he's looking down on us and smiling, seeing that big dog bone in his name up there.
Thank you very much. That helps.
Oh, Elaine, didn't your father also run the newspaper?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've been busy in town.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, next we will, thank you very much. Next we will turn to public comment period. And I'd like to invite any members of the audience wishing to address the commission for any matter other than public hearings, which we don't have any this evening. If anybody, looks like a, okay. Looks like we have no one to comment, so we'll close the public comment period and turn to the consent calendar. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Are there any others before we discuss A4? A4 is the Recreation and Parks Department status report. Does anyone have any other items to pull? They'd like to pull from our list. Let's just make sure. Okay, we will then motion. Can I get a motion to accept?
I'd like the motion to accept A1, A2, and A3. As submitted.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Okay. So let's have a discussion on A4, Recreation and Parks Department status report. Would you like to provide any specific direction to Mr. Woods on what you're looking for? Commissioner Crawley? Just, you'd like to just have a recap of the highlights of this? Okay.
Do you have some questions regarding the maintenance consolidation? I can certainly address that issue. What we had talked about prior to the meeting. Thank you, Chair Hale and Mr. Crowley. The last part of your status report, the very end, this item is maintenance consolidation. Staff felt we can give you a quick update on what's happening, sewer plant and whatnot, but for the majority, your real property assets are maintained by your facilities maintenance division. Those two divisions were combined this fiscal year, so park and building maintenance are working under one superintendent. We've reduced one superintendent. And that consolidation is still working well. And the city manager has continued the consolidation to include streets, street trees, storm drains, as well as fleet maintenance. And these divisions come from public services. They have three individuals, two in the streets department and one in the fleet maintenance department. So it sounds like we were taking on these huge divisions. And in general, they are, but the personnel associated with these are three full-time positions. So we'll be taking on the physical maintenance of the street trees, which is basically periodic maintenance and any kind of emergency maintenance we'd have to attend to. Street maintenance, these are minor daily and monthly repairs. We're not talking percent. We will have support from public services. The director there will have a percentage of his time allocated for streets and storm drains, because there's a lot of administration that goes along with them. Stormwater management plan is a big project. Obligations annually for permitting, and those obligations will remain in public services. The fleet maintenance is one mechanic, and we will be supervising those operations as well as the operation budget. So I wanted to let you know that things are changing in this city. And we are definitely right in the middle. We're excited about the challenge. There's a lot of new things coming our way. We're going to be approaching this as a more of a team operation. We've got with our own maintenance crew, I think we're up to 13, three close. I'm sorry, I don't have that head count right now. But we'll be looking to do projects that may have been outsourced in the past, lack of resources here, and if we can combine our resources to 3 or 4 or 5-man crew, we'll be able to accomplish bigger projects, hopefully in a short duration. Because of our resources, a series of meetings with public services for a transition period, and then hopefully we'll minimize some failed attempts as we go along, but there'll be some adjustments as we go through the next fiscal year, but we are scheduled to consolidate this maintenance operation July 1. to let you know the area's responsibilities will expand, pardon me. And we'll be fielding a lot of the public's concerns about potholes on their streets or conditions of general roadways, sidewalk weeds, street trees. There's a lot of folks that have concerns, and we'll be fielding those and how we disseminate information and how we coordinate work orders and whatnot is still something that we're working out. So there's a lot of unknowns right now, but I wanted to put it in front of you so you knew what the status was and what staff's been working on. Be happy to answer any more questions if you have them.
Any questions?
We still have that cleanup in May, don't we? And is it May or July that all the empty lots and all that has to be taken care of by the property owners? So will that take care of the weeding on the sidewalks? And
right now, most everybody, from what I understand, who gets a letter shows the action and takes care of the situation. But these aren't public right-of-ways. These are private properties. Public right-of-ways will still be the responsibility of, well, on July 1 will be ours.
Questions? Anyone else have questions? I was just going to make a comment that one of the things the public might be interested in is that regarding the pool study, is that the pool feasibility survey has concluded, and it looks like our staff will be requesting a presentation from one of the pool groups to provide results. So that we probably would look for that in maybe another 60 days. Does that sound about right?
60 days. I think that's about right. Well, once it gets back, the final results come back, and they kind of understand it all. I'm hoping that we'll have a wrap here within a couple meetings.
Great. Any other questions? Can I get a motion to accept A4 for file?
A motion to accept A4 in the file.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. We do have new business to discuss, item D1, which is a discussion of recommended staff levels proposed to the City Council for the 2010-2011 fiscal year budget. And I will turn it over to Mr. Woods to give us a summary of the developments here.
Thank you, Chair Hale and Commission. Good evening. This item, the discussion was on the agenda last night for City Council. That was the April 26th meeting. Council opened the item for public comment. No public comment was given. They continued the item to the May meeting. I don't know exactly why. I believe it was a time restraint. But at the end of last night's meeting, they had time remaining, so they reopened the item. Staff reported to council, and council in turn had no action to report. So that's how it kind of went down last night. I wanted to bring this item to you. It's informational only. Staff is not looking for any action. No action is required. And I'll get a little bit more into the report after I've gone through a little bit. This impact for the Recreation and Parks Department will be a matter of reducing our service levels to employees, to other city departments, citizens of Morro Bay, as well as the surrounding areas of the Estero Bay. The service impacts are outlined in general within the attached staff report. However, the implementation of these particular reductions will still need to be addressed. All the impacts are not identified. There's always more that, oh yeah, this happens and this happens. So we're trying to anticipate everything that could happen in these staff reductions and plan accordingly. The discussion we have is that based on the direction from council, staff has proposed to reduce staffing levels to bring expenses within the projected revenues, hence getting a sustainable budget. And so a structurally sustainable budget is one that the expenditures do not exceed the revenues. Council's direction to staff was to formulate next fiscal year budget without using any reserve money. So in order to do that, we've pulled out, it seems that layoffs would be inevitable. So looking at the areas throughout the city, not just concentrating on one facet of the facility, and I staff definitely, my personal opinion, I appreciate the approach. I believe that the organization as a whole is balanced as a wheel is, and when you start taking away bits and pieces, it tends not to function properly. But an overall compression is what you're seeing in this particular model, sustaining a balanced budget, balanced services, but at a reduced level. So with that, in order to meet this goal of structurally sustainable budget, we went into, let me go back up and say that when we put this together, we looked at all different scenarios and what the impact would be in different across the board and tried to make the most sensible reductions, leaving us the most operational or functional as we could be with this type of reduction. I won't get it. We had major staffing reductions then. Our department reduced levels of service across the board. Since then, have picked up this position a couple years ago and have established a very functioning department with our consolidation of maintenance and reallocation of duties. So a lot of the administrative work, permitting, invoicing, and whatnot that was associated with facility superintendent had been shifted to an administrative role through admin, and the maintenance superintendent currently is tasked with maintenance duties as opposed to heavy administration duties. So we feel we're allocating the resources properly. We've been productive in the consolidation so far. We're hoping that we can continue with our success. This particular position is going to be pivotal for us. I won't say that we can get by without it. We've got some serious support from administration across the board, and realize that they're doing more than just supporting your maintenance operations. They're also supporting all the adult sports, youth sports, all your child care, after school, before school, summer, for every activity pretty much that we do in our department. The list is here, and I can briefly just touch base on a few things. We would be looking at a significant reduction in customer service to the community with maybe limited hours of operation at the community center front desk. When we pull people away to work the front desk for registration, walk-in, or telephone inquiries, we're going to be taking those resources away from programs or other administrative activities or programming activities. Severe reduction in the information dissemination delivery to the direct public when they come in. And this isn't just the direct public. The program information goes out to participants, their parents. So there's schedules, and there's quite a bit, few things that are associated with that. Coaches get a lot of information during seasons because they're volunteers, and processing their information prior to and during a season can be time-consuming. Community groups as well. We've got several nonprofit groups that come here for events, fundraisers, and then there's several of them that have regular meetings in our facilities, and this position coordinates those schedules, invoicing, as well as the receiving of payments. And that is the reality. There's going to be a major percentage of our registration that will be dealt with on a hand, you know, case-by-case, hand delivery and processed. And this front desk position takes care of that. We were going to be reallocating rental coordination. I told you the facilities superintendent was doing this. Now it is on administration, which means fulfilling any public property requests for public use. That's all community center, any open area. Giving the applicant the inquiry, the paperwork, the application itself, receiving it and generating permits, This position collects and processes invoice fees as well as processing the deposit checks. So, pardon me, I was looking for some water earlier. This position, these allocations, reallocation of these duties is going to fall back on the remaining staff that we have. All the accounting procedures, balancing out daily, duties and program support for all the employees and contractors that are teaching classes right now. We're no longer independent contractors, but they are employees, as we discussed in other meetings. And so there is service that we have to tend to in-house. Are transferred to frontline personnel, and there's quite a bit when you have wedding receptions or large fundraising events. Requested information, times, staffing, and it all changes to the last minute. And this person, this position's been coordinating that very effectively. And then the managing of the regular facility user groups, scheduling those regular uses, checking out keys, like I said, invoicing and whatnot. So there's major impact just in losing that one position right now. And come July 1, we will be faced with picking up three additional personnel, as well as three more divisions of maintenance, which is streets, street trees, and vehicle maintenance. And with those positions comes administrative responsibilities as well. And we're still kind of working through the details of how much administrative and support these particular divisions require. We're imagining it's going to be some. We're hoping it's not too overwhelming. And that would certainly add to the list of responsibilities that we would have to absorb or reallocate in some way. I would want to add that this is the beginning of a process that the city's going through. A lot of things can change. Council will still have further review, particularly with the budget. On page 5 of the attached report, there's a proposed layoff schedule, and this schedule, I think, is important. Last night, council did meet in open session, and the next, there's going to be notice to the employee groups, as well as final notice to those employees. That would be April 27th through the 30th, and then final notice to employees would be in May the 14th. The first budget hearing is scheduled for May the 19th, and we're hoping that that the proposed budget is discussed and we come up with solutions to maintain a structurally sustainable budget. And so the process is underway. There's going to be some tough decisions to make in the future, and we're hoping that that everyone's working together and we can come up with some solution. That staff is not looking for any actions, and nor are any actions required.
Questions, comments?
I was wondering if Cal Poly internship has been explored to fill that position at all. Those are oftentimes voluntary, and maybe somebody in a major such as city planning or city something or even Parks and Rec. I can't remember what the majors are over there, but has that been explored at all?
Right now, we have not explored a replacement for the position, because right now it's not in the budget, but it's soon in the process. We do have a rec intern from Cal Poly. She's working through this quarter with T-ball Coach Pitch, and she's doing some work with the Rock to Peer Run. So we have outreach to Cal Poly with an intern, just not for this particular position.
Okay.
Other comments? Questions? I mean, it's obviously difficult. It's got to be a really difficult time for the staff, and it's hard to hear the tough decisions that are having to be, campaign to get people to do more of their activities online. We've obviously seen some progress there, but we know that a portion of that role's time is spent taking checks from people signing up for youth soccer or whatever, and we know that we have an alternate way for those people to register, and we know that if, you know, more people did that, it would lighten the load at least slightly. I know that person has a lot of responsibility, and so I'm sure those are things you guys are looking at, but if we can play a role or talk about some ideas or contribute some, you know, some thoughts or actions to help ease some of that, those gaps that would exist if this moves forward for the department, I think that would be, you know, worthy of an agenda item just to have a discussion when the time comes, if that is how this evolves.
Certainly, and staff would certainly welcome that discussion without a doubt. And we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. And right now we're concentrating on quite a few different things. The consolidation of maintenance is a real big issue right now because there's so many moving parts and different areas of responsibilities. And this is all these are direct impacts of responsibility that we take very seriously, that facilities and our program areas are safe and well kept and appealing. So we are functioning not only for, you know, the community, the locals, but also for the visitors. And so we see it as a big task. It is going to be a challenge, but I think that city staff has a very good perspective, very good attitudes, willingness, dedicated. And we all looking around, and we've been through quite a few different cuts throughout the, you know, last 10, 20 years. And I just take the streets that we're taking on, a streets division of 2 people. When I first got here, it was 6 people. And they did a lot of asphalt work. Now a lot of it's just maintain what we have and outsource the big projects. So we're seeing we're going to find some middle ground in there that we can be productive and responsive with who we have and try to keep everybody together mentally and physically. It's going to be tough. Even though we're increasing our size, we're still only a certain amount of folks that can go out and do the job. So
I know most of your employees have different classes of their duties and whatnot, but since this...
We are working diligently with human resources as well as the labor groups on job descriptions. And having people work out of their class is something that we do not want to happen. So there is a consolidation of the maintenance as well as a consolidation of and changing of job descriptions. And that right now, they're in draft form. Staff has been working collectively. Mike Wilcox and Jamie Boucher, Susan Slayton, Bob Leibig, we're all got our hands in this and passing these documents around so we can have a job description that's a maintenance 2 that can do maintenance in parks, in streets, in buildings, and so forth.
So you're looking at changing some of the job specs to make that happen, or correct me if I'm wrong, most of them are pretty open-ended to do most duties as required. So with this conglomeration of roads coming to parks and buildings coming to parks, it seems like, for instance, working on street trees, I don't know if a park maintenance worker, if that would be out of their league. I mean, they're working on trees in a park. The person that basically is responsible for keeping you guys all together is, you know, that position is being eliminated. That obviously some teamwork and some cross training is definitely going to have to happen to be able to push through what we got going on.
Cross training is definitely going to be key, but that doesn't happen overnight. The job descriptions that we're changing are job descriptions of a maintenance 2 in different categories, as opposed to maintenance 2 parks, maintenance worker 2 streets. That skill level set of a maintenance worker 2 is what's boilerplated, and then specifics or more detailed are included in there. So that position tends to be a little bit more well-rounded and a little bit more skill set, but not to exceed that of a level 2. And so we are restructuring. We haven't finalized how it looks at the end, but we can see we are working on lead worker, job descriptions, maintenance worker two, maintenance worker three, and that's a consolidation. Lead worker would be another class that we would want to consolidate. We're looking at several different scenarios. I think they're going to be days of core duties and days of project duties, days off and vacations. So there's a lot to juggle. You're right, and I appreciate your insight on thinking about the job descriptions. No way would we want to have someone work out of their class. Like I said earlier, we brought in the maintenance workers, all of them, on two different occasions now, and just to sit down and talk about these issues. What are their concerns? How do they see this working? What do they see that would maybe not work? And kind of surface this up and really get a dialogue together. They've been very forthcoming. We've had some interesting discussions. We've made some progress. Pardon me. And I think that in general, it's well received. It's difficult. It's changed. It's changed to an unknown. And it's not the way we've worked in this city since its inception. Well, maybe at the very, very beginning, but not for a long time. So consolidation and blending this maintenance crew is going to be unique. But we're hoping with patience and enough time, we can be successful. But that whole operation definitely would need some of what's going to happen, how we're going to reallocate, how we're going to distribute these duties of this position if it's lost, and how are we going to deal with the duties that are coming in as well. So we're working on different cases and different options, but it's all moving right now, and it's just fairly beginning stages as well. Yes?
When you say we, who are we that is consolidating all these jobs and trying to make everything smaller, larger? Who's going to be, how should I say it, like job descriptions? That when you say we, who are we? Is it a committee that decides all this at one time?
Not exactly. The structure of the city and the employees, that's the responsibility of the city manager. And the city manager right now is working under the direction of city council. And consolidation of maintenance was something that was addressed in the managing partners report. As we're looking at different positions, retiring, available resources that we have, you had to look at the manager, as well as Susan Slayton, who's the administrative services director in charge of personnel. Those job descriptions are out of her office, and we work closely with them because we know the job, and they know the human resource law, and we try to blend it all together and come out with something that's recruitable. So it's something that we haven't set standards that we can't get anybody in if a position was to open. And then again, the people who are there now need to feel comfortable and confident enough that they can perform the duties in their newly amended job description that they can do it, and they're confident, and they're proud of it, and it's something that doesn't overwhelm them. You change your job description and double your work, and you can't work for 6 months because you're stressed. We didn't do a very good job. So bringing the employees in with dialogue, understanding the duties, understanding the scope of the responsibilities that we want to produce, the service level that we can provide for the community, that's where the job descriptions go in. And it's been several weeks working on them. It's not an easy task, but we're close. We're close. So when I say we, one more time, it's the we. It's city staff.
I'm sorry, D1.
No actions required on
okay.
D1.
So we're going to move on to D2, Recreation and Park Department program evaluations.
Thank you, Chair Hale. Good evening once again. The item you have in front of you is a program evaluation for the Dixon Halfley Spaghetti Dinner fundraiser. It was put on by the Recreation Parks Commission, Morro Bay Community Foundation, the Senior Citizens Incorporated, and a few staff members in there as well. This is an annual event that's put on for a fundraiser for the Community Foundation Scholarship Fund. Over 350 dinners were served this year. $2,471.56 was deposited in the Youth Scholarship Fund. And we have a quick little breakdown, and I won't take too long. We kept expenses down. They went up as much as we could. A few things went up a little bit this last year. Our direct costs were $744. We did include a cost allocation, and that would be, and they totaled $3,216. Again, a huge, I think it's huge. It's a big deposit. I'm always very pleased when the community comes out and supports this program and any other program, but this one goes right into a scholarship fund for the youth, and it's just great. $2,471, which is terrific. We have listed some recommendations there. I won't go through those. The donations, this event would not even be close to being successful without the support of the local citizens and businesses. It's just been phenomenal that we can go back every year to these folks who are donating and ask, and they just, without question, give, whether it's money or a door prize or a raffle prize. It's just been overwhelming. The volunteer coordinator, we need to give recognition to Eleanor Walt. Did a terrific job on coordinating all the senior volunteers. The setup was done by Girl Scout Troop 40620, and what's made it very productive is having a pre-cooked spaghetti, and let the commission know that each sponsor was thanked personally from a letter from Marlene Peter. She's the president of the foundation, and she takes special pride in communicating with all these sponsors before and during the whole program, and then wraps it up with a thank you, a very personalized thank you. And I think that makes a huge difference in the commitment and the response that we get from the local businesses. So I would say a special thanks to Marlene Peter for all her efforts in coordinating this. That concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer questions at this time.
Questions?
It says here on number 7, better defined task between sponsoring agencies to ensure nothing is overlooked. Can you clarify?
Yeah, I think what we're looking to do next year is to really try to make a comprehensive list of all the tasks before, during, and after, and pre-assigning those so everyone knows we don't miss anything. Bulk delegation wasn't as productive, we think, and we feel that we can line item the task and then delegate those prior to and get the commitment that we'd be more successful. And that means a little less stressful as well.
Hey, another recommendation deserves recognition for all the hard work she did just to provide the overall coordination of another successful spaghetti dinner.
May I take the time to introduce the band?
Yes, please do.
I always wanted to say that. Now, the band is the Mudskippers, and they're a jazz band that's associated with the Morro Bay Whitecaps. So it's your city-sponsored band, and Little Offshoot is the Mudskippers, and they do a terrific job, and they've always been willing. So I'm so glad that they were able to come out, and everyone enjoyed it. So we'll certainly put them on the list for next year.
I do have one suggestion, though. I think you need some men in the kitchen. That spaghetti was awfully heavy, even for that young girl. I know she was tall, but you know how big the pans were? Just trying to get in there and pull it out was, you know.
We'll go ahead and take a recommendation and ask for Commissioner
Sedaris
to stay a little longer next year.
Blame it on Commissioner Sedaris. Okay. Any other comments, questions on D2? Okay, I get a motion to I don't have to motion to accept E2. Never mind. Okay, moving on to item E, declaration of future agenda items.
I'd like to come back with a report on the use of park and lieu funds. Oftentimes, the commission's been asked to make recommendations to council for the approval of the use of park and lieu funds, which is basically funds that are collected through the Quimby Act. And we have a couple of projects right now that are out there, which is the Centennial Parkway improvement, as well as the Centennial Mariner Park improvement project. So those two are still open, and we have just that base account, and I'd like to come back and give you a more detailed update outside of the status report so you guys can know what we've been doing and what projects that are in the queue and what kind of funds we're looking to use as well. So if that's acceptable, I certainly want to bring that back.
Sounds good. Another item might be, I know, you know, we're gearing up for summer. It might be interesting to share with the community what upcoming events we have lined up for summer that Rec and Parks is going to be involved in so people can get dates on their calendars.
Yeah, we can certainly bring something back that outlines all those and gives you a little bit more idea. Some, would you be interested in programs that are not ours?
Summer.
We can give you the list over the summer and some of the things that, and we'll outline the things that we're involved in because we our youth services is definitely going to be involved in the and games and activities down at the 4th of July, which is going to be very exciting this year.
Yes. Anything else? All right, so I will look for a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting.
I make the motion to adjourn.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Meeting adjourned.
Okay. Good.
Thanks for coming. We are getting started. Oh, who's going to what? Oh, I don't know about that one. I might have to go home now.
Yeah, what happens, Joe, if the vice and chair don't show, who runs the meeting? Eating, meeting, mining, both?
Yeah, we'd be a Joe directed. We'd just be a puppet there.
Somebody to step off.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, Joe would help out.
Yeah. I didn't mean to be so all over the map with that.
Well, it's a stressful topic. I mean, it's understandable.
Like, yeah.
What am I giving? What am I saying?
Yeah, you have to be careful on.
It's very difficult,
sure.
And I'll reveal a couple of my cards. We need you to keep this body.
Mm-hmm. Sure, of course.
Yeah.
So yeah. I can't ask you to write a letter to council, but I can ask.